We Are So Blessed, and it's Matthew 5, obviously known as the Beatitudes or the Blessedness, and we've been preaching on Sunday night through the book of Matthew, and a couple weeks ago we were in chapter 5, and so obviously these will be familiar verses, but the Lord does, you know, different things. Sometimes I'm in there just studying, and He'll help me develop an outline and things like that. Sometimes, this one, I was mowing the grass. And, I like to pray when I'm mowing the grass. I don't bow my head and close my eyes because I might run off a cliff. And but anyway, I like to pray when I'm mowing the grass and talk to the Lord, things like that. And He just started, I was, whoa. let me park and go get a pen and so forth. And he gave me this outline while I was mowing the grass. And because even though there have been some storms lately and some people have been devastated, and some people have lost their life. And I guess you hear that on the news, but then when you know somebody that lost their life, it does. The devil kind of puts that in there like, why did God let that happen? The girl Julie, we were praying for her, and I was praying that they found her at least, so they could have some closure. I was praying that they'd find her alive. But I was praying that they would find her at least so the family could have closure. But in the title of my sermon, God give, we are so blessed. Because even in that, storms, all He was doing was saying, Julie, come on home. Amen. So even though she did lose her life in that storm, God was with her the whole time. And you think, as a Christian, if you were going through something like that, what would you do? But I guarantee you, God showed up. Amen. And she knew she was going home. And God was with her the whole time. So even though we have tragedies, we're still blessed. And even though there are wars going on in this world right now, we're so blessed. And there's people even in our church that is affected by sickness and hurt. And God's taking care of that. We are so blessed. And so we're going to look at that today. Let's read those verses real quick. We'll start with verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 11. And some of these make sense. Some of these, again, you have to look at it in the eyes of God. Because I just explained a story that we might not think that Julie was blessed. But she is. She's saved, and now she's in heaven. So we see here, even her family knows that she's in heaven. It says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn over a loss of a loved one, maybe lost possessions. But if they're Christians, God said they're going to be comforted. And there have been a lot of people that have taken food to people, and a lot of people have prayed for people, things like that. And those ones that have been affected by a storm, even though God didn't say, come on home, He's comforted them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's some people, obviously, are mad at God. And they, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you take this from me? But the ones that trust Him, say, God, I may not know what you're doing, but I'm going to be meek and just trust you. Guarantee you, they're blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if we want to be, like we've been learning in Sunday school, a disciple, we're hungry for it. God says, you can have it. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So even those ones that might be even mad at God, but if they are merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Even in destruction, even in loss, they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which do are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I have. People have lied about me, falsely accused me. But I'm still blessed. We are so blessed. So we see blessed basically means enjoying happiness. That's a shallow definition of it, but a definition of it either way. But we're enjoying happiness if we're blessed. And sometimes when we're singing songs like Victory in Jesus or Jesus Loves Even Me, and you come to the realization of those truths, you can enjoy happiness. When we talk about even loss and hurt, but you realize that God's in control and He designed it all, you can see the blessing in it and you can enjoy happiness. And so specifically Christianity, that's what the Bible calls true joy. True joy. Then it also means good fortune. Good fortune could come. Contentment or pleasure. To be grateful or have that attitude of gratitude when you realize how blessed you are, it ought to help us all, Lord, to have that attitude of gratitude. So, people comes up to Christians, and my dad would always say this. When people say, kind of a typical thing, how are you doing today? And my dad will always answer, better than I deserve. And, as a kid, I'm like, what does that even mean? But now that I'm old, I get it. people are looking, how are you doing today? Man, I should be burning in hell. So I'm upright and on this side of the dirt. So better than I deserve. we ought to have that attitude of gratitude that, we are blessed. We can look at the circumstances and we can look at the loss and we can look at the hurt. And we can get bitter about that. Just ask Naomi. She tried that. But look at Job. Goodness gracious. But the Bible says, in all that, Job sinned not and was perfect in how he behaved himself. So better than I deserve. Some people say, you're just lucky. I don't believe in it. All right? That's what they'll say. Good night, man. You're lucky to have that, or you're lucky to be able to do that, or you're lucky to... just blessed. Just blessed. I'd rather be blessed than lucky and so forth, because I just have a belief, I guess, that God's in control of everything. There's no circumstance or happenstance. And there's no, nothing snuck up on God. He's in control. And so we are blessed. And I'm going to read you a couple of other verses. Obviously, we read those ones there in Matthew. But listen to these three verses before we get to the outline. Numbers, you can write it down if you'd like. But Numbers 6, 24 and 26. We're talking about blessed. We are so blessed. Number 6, 24 and 25 says this, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." So this is obviously a prayer on them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And you can just stop right there. I'm saved and God keeps me saved. I didn't have to save myself, can't. I don't have to keep myself, can't. But God saved me and He's the one that keeps me saved. Verse 25 says this, "The Lord maketh His face to shine upon thee." And so, of course, we see here God's blessing or God's smile upon you, the Bible talks about, or His face to shine upon thee. Obviously, you can tell a lot about people's facial expressions. And we're created in God's image. We're going to see that in just a minute. And so when we make God happy, His face shows it. Those of us that stayed in trouble a lot with their mom, with their teacher, I don't know if I ever got in trouble with a coach, but mom and teacher, definitely. And you could tell it right here. Mom's lips would get tight, get those little wrinkles right here. Those eyes would get a little beady. I'm in trouble. I could tell by her face. And I could see that same way in a lot of my teachers. But when you make somebody happy, you can see it right here too. Those eyes, instead of being beady, they're bright and they're glowing. And that tight lips is a smile. And so we see here when we make God happy with us, after He's blessed us and kept us, we can also live in a way that His face will shine upon us. It says here, "And be gracious unto thee." Not only do I want His smile, I want His grace, because I need it. I need His grace. Verse 26 says this, "The Lord lift up His countenance," talk about that facial expression, "upon thee and give thee peace." So when you're truly blessed and you realize it in a biblical sense, you know God's happy with you. He's smiling. You can see it on His countenance. There's just a peace that overcomes you. But obviously, if we've done something that we think He doesn't know about, we don't have that peace. Because we're worried about getting caught. We're already caught. He knows all, sees all. The Bible says all things are open unto the Lord. So, again, to have that peace, we've got to be at peace with Him, or be in the way that He can bless us. Jeremiah 17:7, talking about blessing. How we are so blessed. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. So again, if you're going through a loss or you're going through a struggle in your life, you got to just trust God. And that's where my hope is. Again, I haven't had a devastation like some people that I've seen on the news. But my trust is in the Lord. And if it did happen, that's where I'd want it to stay. And so I believe there's people that are trusting the Lord. And God's blessing them. Psalm 1, 1 and 2, very familiar ones. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. All right, so if we want to be blessed, we want God to smile upon us, we're going to have to not walk in the counsel of ungodly. You say, well, what's the counsel of ungodly? Anybody that would say, hey, let's go and blah, 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 fill in the blanks. And that would mean you skip church. That's counsel of the ungodly. Well, they're Christians too, but they're being ungodly. They're telling you to skip church. Hey, let's! And we know the Bible says, thou shalt not. That's ungodly counsel. No matter what, let's go watch, or let's go see, or let's go do. And we know the Bible says, thou shalt not do that. That's ungodly counsel. So we see here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. And then if you listen to that counsel, this is what happens. Then you're standing in the way of sinners. Now you're there with that ungodly counsel, doing that ungodly activity, and God's not smiling. His countenance is not going to be on you, and you're not going to be blessed. And there's definitely not going to be peace. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And here it is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That just becomes a part of you. You've listened to the ungodly counsel, you're standing there, and now you're just involved. It says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Talk about that blessed person. I'd rather do what this book says than what that ungodly counsel is trying to talk me into. Why? Because I want peace. I want God to be happy with me. So his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. So we are so blessed. And here's the outline that God gave me while I was mowing grass. Amen. I wish it was when I was studying my Bible and praying fervent prayers in there. It was mowing the grass. But God's still God out there, all right? So why are we so blessed? Number one, because we're God's creation. Because we're God's creation. We're all blessed because of that. And every person in this world, all of mankind, is a part of this one. All right? We are all God's creation. None of you were a oops. None of you, God looks down and goes, how'd they get here? Where'd they come from? No. God created us all and gave us the parents that we had and let us be born where we were born and to whom we were born. God created us all. So we are blessed because we are God's creation. Now, you heard that song, He Treats Us Like We Were His Only Child? All right? Because sometimes when you are in a household of several siblings, you might not get as much food as you want. We had a kid that we taught in school, my wife and I. I think he had 12. I think he was one of 12. And at lunch, he would eat like this. Why? Because he was one of the young ones. And he would lose his food. If his parents weren't looking, the big brother would go and poke something with that fork and take it. So he was always eating like this. I was like, Sam, we're not going to take it from you, bud. You can have it all. All right? But we see here that God treats us all special. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to treat somebody better. Now, He's just. He's like, if you ask my Son to be your Savior, I'll save you and take you to heaven. If you reject my Son and do not receive Him as your Savior, I'm not sending you to hell. Your decision is sending you to hell. Because that's what people always say. Oh, God's a God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. That's right. But their decision would. You have to accept His Son. So we are special in His creation. And I'm going to give you some verses. Genesis 1:27 says this, that why are we special? Because we were created in God's image. I mean, God, the God of the universe, We were created in His image. Now, the Bible says nobody's ever seen Him. He's a spirit. And if you worship Him, you got to worship Him in spirit and truth, and so forth. Moses obviously had to get hid in the cleft of the rock and got to see the hinder parts, and his face was like sunburned, things like that, and so forth. People have looked unto God, but nobody has seen Him. But the Bible says that we were created in His image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man, talking about mankind, in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. And we'll just leave that right there. All right? I have the Bible view on that. He created them male and female. Genesis 2:7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we see here, number one, we're God's creation and we're special. Because we were created in His image. Secondly, another verse is found in Luke 12:7. Why are we special? Because every hair, and those of you that have my same haircut, the ones we got hanging on, all right? The Bible says every hair on your head is numbered. I mean, God knows exactly how many hairs. So when they started, you know, some of y'all's turned gray, mine turned loose. All right, and now it's turning gray as well. But anyway, but when they started going, I was like, oh. Why? Because I loved it. I was like all those dudes, you know, that had the hairdo, you know, the flippers. And they got the long hair, and I would flip it, boy. They go, oh, they're cool. I didn't ever flip. I had a hurt neck. But I mean, I had what they call wings, parted down the middle, you know, the wings back in the 80s. And had some curls back there that flopped. All right, this was pre-church, okay? All right? But I loved it. And so when they started falling out, I was a little devastated. I looked into, you know, plugs and rugs, and we could just get on down the list. But as they started falling out, the Bible says God knew it. He numbered them. And I would pluck one out for an illustration, but I'm hanging on to every one I got, okay? All right? But if I plucked one out, He would say, oh, that's 1,074. That's how awesome God is. All the ones that get hung in your little trap that you got in your shower, or if you don't have that, it gets hung in the P-trap, and your husband has to go down there and get it out. God knows. I mean, we think they go out into utter, you know, darkness and never to be seen again. But they're there somewhere, and they're numbered. The Bible says in Luke 12:7. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. The Bible says one sparrow can fall to the ground and God knows it. The Bible says you are worth more than many sparrows. God even knows when one lets go. Okay? God even knows those of you that like to color it. All of them got colored, right? And then stripe it and highlight it and do all those things. God knows you're special because you're created in His image. Even your hairs are numbered. Listen to this one, Luke 12:25. You're special. You're got one of God's creation, and God made you the exact size that He wanted you to be. All right. So if you're tall and you got bumps all over your head because you hit stuff, God knew that. All right. If you wish you were tall, I wish I could get a bump on my head. I'm so short. God knew that. He created you in His image, numbered your hairs, and made you the exact size He wanted. Luke 12:25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now, cubic, obviously, our lingo is probably an inch. I think the cubic was, if you bend your finger like that, it was from this knuckle to that knuckle. So I could measure cubics here. I mean, but the Bible says, who can take, even think about it, say, I wish I was just a cubic taller. You can't do it. God made you the exact way He wanted to make you. D, He gave you the ability to think. Well, somebody, you might be questionable. But no, He gives us the ability to think. I mean, there's other animals that they have a brain and things like that. And, you know, I think we give cats and dogs maybe a little bit more credit than they deserve. Oh, no, not my dog. I mean, they can talk and they can this and that. I get it. Okay. But He gave us the ability. We can think. We can get out of the road. Or we can not even go in the road. And things like that. He gave us the ability to think and reason. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, here it is, think on these things. So God tells us, hey, I made you the height I wanted you. I put the number of hairs on your head that I wanted. I made you in my image. And now I want you to think about that. I want you to think about honest things and true things and just things and lovely things. That's how I want you to think. Psalm 1:2 says this, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. Doth He meditate day and night? I want you to think about what this Bible says. That's how I want you to think. Now, I said those two to give you some things where the Bible says, think not. Don't think like this. And I'll give them to you real quick. Acts 17:29. Acts 17:29 says this, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, here it is, we ought not to think. So God says a while ago, think on pure things and honest things and true things and good report things and think on that Bible. But here's some things I don't want you to think about. I created that mind, but I want you to be in control of it. Bring into captivity every thought, the Bible says. That the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven image at man's device. So God says, I don't want you to think of me, those of you that are created in my image, I don't want you to think that I'm a statue, that I'm some graven image that you come and bow down to and kiss the toe of. That's why the Bible says, have no graven images. Don't even think that I'm a statue. I'm real. I'm alive. I'm a spirit in heaven, and I can save your soul. I can protect you, and I can bring you to heaven. Don't you think that I'm a statue, or I'm like gold, or I'm like silver, or I'm like a stone that's been carved? I love that Bible story about Diana. The Ark of the Covenant's in there, and they bring that graven image in there, stand it up, come back the next day, boom. Okay. Come back next day, boom. Okay. Come back next day, boom. Head's gone. All right. Stop. Don't think God is a statue. Don't think God is a graven image. No, God is real. And He loves you. Don't think that way. Here's a couple other don't thinks. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but be sober according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. I had a tough time with this one, first time I read it. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I told you about my hair. I loved it. Right? I mean, all teenage guys love their muscles, right? You walk by the mirror, oh, oh yeah. And then your abilities, you get to where you're good at something and you think you get prideful. But the Bible says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. Even in the Christian realm, I'm a pretty good Christian. I got this Christian life down. Watch out. The Bible says that haughty spirit, there's a fall coming after it. So God says, hey, I created you. I don't want you to think about good and prosperous and lovely and just things and about the Bible, but don't think as me is a graven image. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. 1 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for there are things, brethren, talking to saved people, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, I have a figure transferred to myself, says here, and Apollos for your sake, that you might learn, here it is, not to think of men above that which is written. Not one of you be puffed up for against another. So you know this Bible story, and if you don't, I'll tell you. Basically, there was Apollos, and there was Paul, and there were some other guys. And they had the reputation that they led this many people to Christ, and they grew this church, and they did this, some wonderful things. But Paul was telling, whoa, come out. I remember Saul. So don't think of Paul of anything. All right, you can follow me, but only until you start following Christ for yourself. And so Paul was saying, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. And he could go on down the list. Only God gave the increase. And so we're not supposed to think of man. Now, I know the Bible talks about the pastor and the office of the pastor. And I think we should respect the position. Like right now, if Joe Biden walked in this room, I'd say, Mr. President. Don't agree with squat that he teaches. But I would say, Mr. President. Why? Respect the position. So I want you to respect the position because this book says it. And I should live in a way that I can be respected. The Bible says not to live in a way that the ministry can be blamed. I should be above reproach. But I don't want you to think that I can save you because I can't. I don't want you to think that I can help you with anything because I can't. I'll pray for you. Only He can. And that's what God's saying. Hey, when you think, let's don't put men up there. And I get it. There's verses in there about double honor and about holding up Moses' arms and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But Moses is not more important than God. And Paul's not more important than God. And no pastor in this world is more important than God. And if they're always saying, you follow me and you do what I say, you do this for me and you do that for me, run. And if they say, I have a special gift. I can discern better than anybody in the world. I can this and I can that. Paul said, don't think that I'm anything. Don't think that I can do anything more than anybody else. God's the one that gave the increase. So if they're pointing you towards them instead of Him, run. Sorry, other pastors. So we say here, don't think of more highly than you ought of yourself. Don't think that any man is above that which is written. He's just a lost or and saved, hopefully, sinner. That's it. God's the one that gives the increase. We're talking about thinking here. God created us. We're special because He wants us to think what's good things. About the Bible, not about ourselves, not about other people. Here's another one. He gave us a special ability to speak. And some of you are like, I know that's true. I'm married to her. Or you can flip that around. I know. I'm married to him. You know what they say? You know, been vaccinated with a Victrolic needle. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, they just talk. Right? God created us that way. And then some of us, you know, that's about how our conversation is. Okay. 3 words, you know, and okay. I mean, that's it. But we see here, He gave us that ability. But now, just like He gave us this, He wants us to think about just and honest and good report and the Bible and not about this. He gave us that ability to speak. But the Bible says, ooh, you better watch out. That little tongue, it can set fires everywhere. It can blow relationships up. It can blow churches up. It can blow communities up. It can blow worlds up just because of that. So we got to be in control of it. The Bible says in John 3:32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testified. So as a preacher, again, I'm not up here saying I got it all figured out. You just follow me, hang with me, we got it. No. All I can do is preach what I've seen and heard. That's it. Acts 4:20 says this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 22:15, for thou shalt be witnesses unto all men of what you have seen and heard. So that's our job. We heard how to get saved. We're supposed to tell other people how to get saved. We've heard how to pray. We have to tell other people how to pray. We've heard how to live as a Christian. We have to tell other people how to live as a Christian. That's what we're supposed to be talking about, not wickedness, not sinful activities, not did you hear this and did you hear that? No. We're not supposed to spread gossip and backbite and sow discord. We're just supposed to talk about Jesus and what He can do for us. John 1:3 says this, that which thou hast seen and heard, declare. Right there it is. That which you've seen and heard, declare. We unto them that also may fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So spend time with God and tell other people about it. That's how He wants us to use that. Next, He has given us the ability to sing. And again, you're like, not me. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. I mean, the bucket runs from me when I even try to pick it up. But the Bible says that Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise. So God gives us all that space of grace. As long as a joyful noise. I've been to some football games and that noise that's going on, not very joyful. I felt sorry for the band at the last football game I went to. They didn't let them play, but they played that junk through the speakers. It wasn't joyful. But it says here that He wants us to make it joyful. For the rock of our salvation, He's given us that to sing. And again, we ought to sing. I love singing. Not very good at it, but the Bible tells us to. And you may be that in the shower, in the car by yourself singer. Praise the Lord for that opportunity. Sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Next thing, He said, I made you in my own image. I've given you the responsibility to share the gospel. He said, I've given it to you. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, all of us collectively, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, we are so blessed. Why? Number one, because we're God's creation. Number two, why are we so blessed? Because we're God's child. We are God's child. Even though we are God's creation, our sins will separate us from Him one day. And the Bible teaches that. Once we sinned, and we were born that way, we were separated from God. But praise the Lord for the ministry of reconciliation. We can be reconciled to God. So even though we were His creation, we weren't going to heaven because of our sin. We're separated from Him. But we've been reconciled unto God if we've been saved. So we can become a child of God once we've been reconciled. 1 Corinthians 5:10. 1 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for when we were enemies, okay, so when you were a sinner and you were not saved, God considered you His enemy because all that sin was placed on His Son and His Son died. And so God said, that's an enemy of mine. But I want you reconciled. That's why I let Him die. That's why I put your sins on Him. So it says here, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So He died, He was buried, and He resurrected. That's what we're going to do today. Show you that Miss Sherry believes that He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected. So praise the Lord for that. And that's how we can be reconciled to God. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them, here it is, gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, God, we are all God's creation. And those of us that are saved, we are God's child. He gave us the power to become His child. How? By being reconciled. Secondly, by being saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon Him in the Lord, not might be, hope so, think so, if works like crazy, but whosoever shall call upon Him in the Lord shall be saved. You cannot lose your relationship once you're a child of God. I'm my mom and dad's kid no matter what. When I was a hellion, teenager, rebellious, running from God, I was Vaden and Carlene's son. But praise the Lord, when I got right with the Lord, and I got into church, and I said, God, I want to present my body a living sacrifice. I want to live and please You. And that made them way more happy than that rebellious punk teenager that ran around town doing all kinds of stupid stuff. They saw me in church. They saw me living, talking, and acting right. I was still their son either way. Now, that relationship wasn't as good. I come sneaking in after curfew. Mine and my dad's relationship wasn't very good because I was getting it. My mom was like, give me those keys, boy. Ugh. Why? Because I was being a little punkweed, rebellious, doing my own thing. But when I got right with the Lord, and I was home on curfew, and I did do right, and they were smiling, everything was good, but the relationship always was there. The fellowship can be restored or broken. So, we see here, saved and sealed, the Bible says in Ephesians. No man can pluck us out of God's hand, the Bible says in John. And you must be born again, period. It didn't say you must be born again and sin and be born again and then sin and be born again. It didn't say again and again and again and again. It just said you got to be born again once. And I've always used this. You have one birthday, you're going to have two deaths. The day you die spiritually or die physically and the day you die spiritually when you're cast into hell. But if you have two birthdays, you only have one death if you have that one. Because the rapture could take place. So we are blessed to be God's creation. We are blessed to be God's child. Number three, we are blessed to be in God's care. God's care. Now, He created everybody. He wants to save everybody. But the only ones that are in His care are those saved ones. So we see that God says, hey, He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's found in Hebrews 13:15. That's talking to saved people. Talking to saved people. Let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And here it is. For I said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why are we so blessed? Because we're God's creation. And if we're saved, we're God's child. And if we're saved, we're in God's care. The Bible says it likens to being under His wings. And I don't know if you know a lot about chickens, but if they have little bitties, you better watch out. She may not be very big, but she's going to pluck you and flog you with all her might. Why? Because those little bitties are under her wings. They're under her care. And so God says, hey, when you're saved, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just come right here. Get under my wings. I'll protect you. Secondly, He knows how we feel. We're in God's care because He says, hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He also says, I get it. I know how you feel. That helps sometimes. If somebody has lost a loved one and is talking to somebody that's never lost a loved one and they're like, I know how you feel. No, you don't. That's true. But if somebody's talking to somebody that has lost a loved one and say, I know how you feel. I have a brother in heaven. I've got a granny in heaven. I got a grandpa in heaven. I got a cousin in heaven. Oh, so you do know how I feel. Yeah. And that's what God's saying. I know how you feel. It's found in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest, talking about Jesus, who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says He can feel it. He can be touched. Why? It says here, but was in all points tempted, like we are, yet without sin. So every temptation, everything that we've ever felt, Jesus felt it, the Bible says. Yet without sin. Then why are we under His care? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know how you feel. Here's the third one. He can supply your need. Philippians 4:19, but God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Here's a good one. Psalm 37:25. And I can identify with this verse now. It says here, I have been young. Can I get a witness? And now I'm old. Can I get another witness? Right? I have been young and now I'm old. And here it is. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And God showed me something in that verse. I've read it I don't know how many times. Like, I'm young, yeah. I was young. Now I'm old. Yeah, I get it. And I've never seen people that are saved, disciples, sold out, serving God. I've never seen them forsaken. Never seen them. And it says here, begging bread. But it says right there, his seed. It's talking about that righteous person. So his kids. And again, once I had kids, I could care less about me. All right? As long as they had enough food, I'd be all right. As long as they had the clothes that they needed, I'll be all right. As long as they had the protection that they needed, I'm okay. Why? Because once I had kids, it was them. That was my life. Obviously, I should love God more than them. But we see here, this verse says, if you're righteous, if you're living right, you're going to be taken care of and your seed. So, that's an extra blessing there. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That verse right there saying, if I'm just living righteous, if I'm in God's care, He's going to make sure I have sufficiency of all things. I got what I need. Here it is, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom has no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. God's never had a bad day. Sometimes your mom might tell you, I'm just having a bad day. Can you go to your room and play a little while? Okay, Mom. Your dad might say, dude, you just need to vacate. Because I'm wanting to pitch something's head off and you're in the room. Okay, Dad, I'm out. God's never had a bad day. When you come to God, He's like, wait a minute, just give me a minute. I got to take care of this. No. That's how awesome God is. I can be whining to Him. You can be whining to Him. He's listening to both of us. And He's going to help both of us at the same time. We can't wrap our brain around it, but God says here that He says, there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. I can do it. I can take care of it. That's how awesome God is. John 10:10. I came that thou might have life and that thou might have it more abundantly. So why are we so blessed? Because we're God's creation. We're God's child. Thirdly, we are in God's care. Here's number four. We are in God's communication. We're in God's communication. I can't remember what grade it was, but I was a new student at this school. So I was the newbie. And yeah, it happens. Some of you may have experienced it. Bullying, the new kid, not accepted. Nobody will talk to me. I'm not cool. Right? Now, once they met me, it was all right, right? I'm just kidding. But we see here, God ain't leaving anybody out. He's no respecter of persons. You might have got saved last week. You're just like everybody else. Right now, in God's mind, I'll talk to you. I'll answer your prayer. You don't have to do anything to earn my respect. If you're one of mine, here you go. He'll talk to you like that. He will accept you like that. You're in God's clique. Philippians 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you of Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm in. I'm accepted. I'm talked to just like everybody else is talked to. I'm treated like everybody else is. So God doesn't do this. God's not bullying anybody. God's not leaving anybody out. We're in God's communication. We're in His communion. Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So God tells us, hey, you're my child. You're saved. I'm here to take care of you. Let me know what you want. Let me know what you need. There's a communication. It's called coming boldly to the throne. It's called prayer. The second you pray, God's going to hear every prayer from now on. And you can do things to limit that. But God, you're in God's communication. He's got your email. He's got your Twitter account if you have one of those things. All right, He's got your Facebook. I mean, you are in. Once you're a God's child, you are in God's communication. We can talk to Him through prayer. You've heard these cliches. Communication is key. You got to communicate. We need to talk to God. We need to keep all lines of communication open. You've heard that before. Okay, that's a true statement. We've been talking about it on Wednesday night. Things that we can do to hinder our prayers. There are things that we can lose communication. But if we're right with God, we are in His communication. And He communicates back to us through His Word, through His Spirit, and through His man. When He's preaching the Word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord, you can listen. That's how God talks. Some of you've been praying about something. And I'm just going to show you how awesome God is and how awesome I am. You've been praying, God, I need an answer. I need to know about this, this, this. And lo and behold, I'll get up here and say, the Bible says, and you're like, oh! And you hadn't told me anything. You just told him. So then he told me, but now he didn't say, now look, brother so-and-so's got this problem. Now he don't share the details with me. Right? He just tells me what to write and what to preach. And if it comes out, it was God that did that. You're in His communication. He can talk to you. You've been praying about something. God, I just need an answer. And lo and behold, you open your Bible or you open your little devotional book and, oh, that's what I've been praying about. You're in God's communication. If you listen to people preach on podcasts, I've been praying about this and been praying about this. She's not in here. I think she's in the nursery. She can still hear me, so she's going to kill me. My wife had been praying about something specific. First night Brother Joe preached, I mean, it was like he'd been taking notes in our house all week long. She sat back there beside me and cried the whole time. God can do that. Those of you that's been in church a while, you know what I'm talking about. You got a burden on your heart, and God, I need this. And lo and behold, boom, He gives it to you somehow. You know, some new Christians, they get mad at me. You know, I'll preach something. How'd you know? You've been following me around? You got cameras on the outside of my house? You go to work with me? Somebody tell? No, I don't know. I'm just preaching what God, well, I was praying about, or this situation. That's how we're in God's communication. We're so blessed. He watches us all day long, all night long. We're in God's communication. Here's the next one. Got to go quickly. All right? We're on God's contact list. We're on God's contact list. These things have overtaken a lot in our life. But I have this thing called contact list. And I'm sure you do too. I don't know how I got it. My kids loaded it for me. All right. But when somebody calls me, Brother so-and-so, oh, hey, how you doing? I know who it is. Sometimes it'll say potential spam. I don't know who that guy is. Y'all ever get a call from him? He calls me all the time. All right? But he's not on my contact list. Boop! Sometimes it's just an area code that I don't know where in the world that is. It's just numbers. Boop! Not on the contact list. Okay? When you're saved, the Bible says you're on God's contact list. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How about that song? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Why? Because we're on God's contact list. The day you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Take me to heaven when I die. Written down. Lamb's book of life. In the book of life. We made it on God's contact list. And so when we hit the knee, say, God, I have a need. I don't know if he has one of these or not, but it'll say, Robbie Stanley, contact list. How can I help you? That's exactly what it's talking about. We're in God's communication. We're on God's contact list. Huh? How about when the saints come marching in? That's what list is talking about. So we can call God at any time and our name will pop up, not as potential spam, but he'll ask us. So he included us. You know, here's another one. I think the ladies have a group me. Some of us are involved in group texts. And sometimes you're like, well, I don't know so-and-so to find out about, so let's create a new group text. And gets it, you know, and I'm just kidding. But we have one call here at the church trying to send out a mass information. We're on the list when he decides to blow that trumpet and say, hey, Jesus, you can go get them. Nobody's going to be left out. We're in that communication. We're on that contact list. Why are we so blessed? We're God's creation. We're God's child. We're in God's care. We're in God's communication. We're on God's contact list. And lastly, and I'm through. A little long today, sorry. Just been having fun. We're God's called. We're God's called. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us. So he saved us. But then it says here, and called us with a holy calling, not according to the works, our works, but according to His purpose. So He also calls us and says, I need you to do this. And we could just go down the list, and I don't have time. He could say to every man, hey, I need you to be the right kind of husband to your wife. I called you to do that. You treat her as the weaker vessel. You take care of her. You love her like I love my church. We've been called to do that, fellas. Hey, parents, I called you. You know those little ones? I love them. And the Bible even says if anybody hurts one of them, they better put a millstone around their neck and cast them to the sea because I'm going to take care of them. Those are my kids. All right? Those are my creation. And if you don't take care of them, you're worse than the infidel, the Bible says. I called you. Take care of them. Then he says, hey, church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, Taylorsville, Kentucky. I've called y'all to be a witness to this area. So when you're outside, be a testimony. When you get a chance, talk to people about me. We're God's called. So we say we're called to share the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. We're called to let our light shine in this dark world. We're called to be the salt of the world, to preserve it, Christianity in this world. We're called to stand for the truth. We're called not to be a stumbling block. Hey, don't trip anybody up. So we see here that we get, all of us are creations of God. But we have to be saved to be in any of those other lists. So if you're not saved today, today's a great day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Let's ask God to save us. And then all that other stuff will be, you'll be added to that list. You'll be in the communication. You'll be in His care. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And we thank You that we are so blessed. And Lord, I tried to portray this the best of my ability. But Lord, I know You spoke to hearts and You can speak way better than I can. And so if somebody's been spoken to today and you need to come pray, the altar is going to be open. And if you're not saved, you can be saved today. So let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation.